Happy Mother's Day to all our moms and mothers out there. Awesome. Pastor Jackie put that together. She's not even here to see that, but moms are extraordinary, to say the least. Amen? Amen. A mother had put in an 18-hour day at work and was upset to find that her 4-year-old son, Zach, asleep in bed with her husband when she got home. And Zach squirms so much, it is impossible to get a decent night's sleep when he's with them. Exhausted, she collapsed into his bed instead, and where she slept better than she had in years. The next morning, she asked her husband, "Why was Zach in bed with you?" "Oh," he replied, shrugging, "he wet his bed, and I was too tired to change his sheets." Too tired to change his sheets. Typical husband. You know what? Moms are special, even if they take one for the team. Awesome. Well, I recognize this morning that for some, it may be a difficult day to honor and celebrate Mother's Day. Maybe she's no longer living and you can't call her or get advice from her or share some time together. Maybe your mom, like mine, lives far away and you just physically cannot be together. Or you had a challenging childhood, which resulted in a challenging relationship with your mom. Or your relationship with your mom is currently difficult. Or as a mother, you have a strained relationship with a child or with an adult son or daughter. Maybe even you lost a child, or it's tough because you're not a mom yet. I want to speak to all the women today. Even if you're not a mom, whether you're single, single again, a wife, a mom, an aunt, a sister-in-law, a grandmother or a great-grandmother, God places tremendous value on you as a woman made in His image. We live in a society that is trying to redefine a woman and redefine a man, and we celebrate motherhood because it was and still is God's idea. We honor our moms and all the women in our lives, but it's God who places the greatest worth on women. And although I may be speaking specifically to women today, being it's Mother's Day, and from God's Word, God's truth is for all of us. So the same principle applies to all the men here today, all the guys. So don't tune out or check out because it's Mother's Day. Oh, this is for my wife, or this is for my mom. It's for all of us. Amen? All right. I don't know if you've ever been in a position in life where you ask God that if He would answer a particular prayer or get you out of a very tight, specific jam in life or come through with a miracle for a certain situation, if He would do that, then you would serve Him the rest of your life. You would just give your all to Him, right? That you would give up X, Y, and Z, or you would break off this relationship or this friendship. If God came through, then you would fill in the blank for you. I think we've all been desperate enough at times for something that we needed from God that we make promises if He'll answer us. Our backs are against the wall, and there's no way out. It could be there's a crisis in our family. We're short on money this month, praying for a good health diagnosis from the doctor, or even for our marriage to be saved, and we're so desperate for a miracle from God. If He doesn't come through, I don't know what's going to happen. If He doesn't come through, all will be lost. Have you ever been there? Can you think of a time in your life when you were so desperate for an answer, needed a miracle? Well, it's Mother's Day, and I'd like to share about a woman in the Bible who was at a breaking point that led to her breakthrough. She was at a breaking point that led to her breakthrough. Her name is Hannah, and her story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. So I'm going to read the whole chapter. So if you've got your Bible, you can follow along, or you can watch the screen. The verses will be up there. There was a man named Elkanah from Ramatham, Zothim, in the mountains of Ephraim. He was the son of Jehoram, grandson of Elihu, great-grandson of Tohu, whose father was Zuph from the tribe of Ephraim. Whew, I got through that. All right. Elkanah had two wives, one named Hannah, the other Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had none. Every year, this man would go from his own city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of armies in Shiloh. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served there as a priest of the Lord. And whenever Elkanah offered a sacrifice, he would give portions of it to his wife Peniah and her sons and daughters. He would also give one portion to Hannah because he loved her, even though the Lord had kept her from having children. Because the Lord had made her unable to have children, her rival Peniah tormented her endlessly in order to make her miserable. And this happened year after year. Whenever Hannah went to the Lord's house, Peniah would make her miserable, and Hannah would cry and not eat. Her husband Elkanah would ask her, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why haven't you eaten? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Verse 9, one day, after Hannah had something to eat and drink in Shiloh, she got up. The priest Eli was sitting on a chair by the door of the Lord's temple. Though she was resentful, she prayed to the Lord while she cried. She made this vow, "Lord of armies, if you will look at my misery, remember me and give me a boy. Then I will give him to you as long as he lives. A razor will never be used on his head." And while Hannah was praying a long time in front of the Lord, Eli was watching her mouth. She was praying silently. Her voice couldn't be heard, only her lips were moving. And Eli thought she was drunk. "How long are you going to stay drunk?" Eli asked her. "Get rid of your wine." "No, sir," Hannah responded. "I'm depressed, not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't take me to be a good-for-nothing woman. I was praying like this because I've been troubled and tormented." Eli replied, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your request." "May you continue to be kind to me," she said. Then the woman went her way and ate. She was no longer sad. Verse 19. Early in the morning, Elkanah and his family got up and he worshipped in front of the Lord. Then they returned home to Ramah, and Elkanah made love to his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, which means God hears, because she said, "I asked the Lord for him." And to keep his vow, the man Elkanah and his entire household again went to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord a year later. But Hannah didn't go. She told her husband, I'll wait until the boy is weaned, and then I'll bring him and present him to the Lord, and he'll stay there permanently. "Do what you think is best," her husband Elkanah told her. "Wait until you've weaned him. May the Lord keep his word." And the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. As soon as she had weaned Samuel, she took him with her. She also brought a 3-year-old bull, half a bushel of flour, and a full wineskin, and she brought him to the Lord's house at Shiloh while the boy was still a child. Then the parents butchered the bull and brought the child to Eli. "Sir," Hannah said, "as sure as I live, I'm the woman who stood here next to you and prayed to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted my request. In return, I am giving him to the Lord. He will be dedicated to the Lord for his whole life." And they worshiped the Lord there. Wow. My sermon title this morning for this Mother's Day message is Hannah's Breakthrough. Hannah's Breakthrough. There are 5 main characters in this story. We have Elkanah, we have Hannah, Peniah, Eli, and little Samuel. And the context of this story is the nation of Israel had fallen to a very bad place, both politically and spiritually. And after Joshua, Israel was ruled by judges for the next 3 centuries. If you read the Old Testament, you see there's a pattern, right? Repeatedly, the Israelites, they disobeyed God. They violated God's law. And because of their disobedience, God punished them by allowing other nations to attack them. And by the time of this story of Hannah, the Philistines were on the verge of destroying all of Israel and the 12 tribes. It says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. At this time, it said everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It kind of sounds like the United States of America today. It kind of sounds like our world, right? But if you were to continue to read 1 Samuel, Samuel becomes Israel's first national prophet after Moses, and he was the guy that anointed Saul to be Israel's first king. So Elkanah was married to Hannah, but she wasn't able to have kids, so he marries Peninnah and had children. I thought about explaining the two wives, but I'm not going to go there today. But every year they went up to Shiloh, where the tabernacle, the house of the Lord, was located to offer sacrifices to God. And Eli was the leading priest and judge in Israel at the time. And the meat that was offered in the sacrifices was often given to the worshipers. And Elkanah gave some to Peninnah and her kids, but he gave Hannah a double portion because he loved her very much. And Peninnah tormented Hannah year after year, right? Taunting and provoking her, making her miserable because she couldn't have any children. Naturally, Hannah, she's in tears. She's crying. She's sad. She's grieved, unhappy. And it says that she wouldn't eat. She was so distraught. Elkanah's love for Hannah wasn't enough. She wanted a son. She wanted to be a mother. Well, on one of these visits to Shiloh to offer sacrifices, Hannah went to the house of the Lord to pray. And in her deep anguish, distress, and troubled, broken heart, crying bitterly, right? She makes a vow to the Lord that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate him back to the Lord's service. We haven't done a whole lot here at Peace Chapel since I've been here, but I'd love to dedicate little babies, right, to the Lord. That's in essence what we're saying. We are giving this little one back to you. And as a church, we will help this young baby grow in the Lord. So while Hannah's making this vow to the Lord silently, Eli was the leading priest. He notices her lips are moving, but no sound was coming out. He thinks that she's drunk and scolds her to throw away your wine, throw away your wine. But Hannah defends herself, saying that she's pouring out her heart to the Lord in deep anguish and sorrow. It doesn't mention if Hannah tells Eli, the priest, what she's praying about. But Eli goes ahead and blesses her anyway with peace. He's the leading priest, the one in authority. Well, hearing that, Hannah's pretty excited, and she begins to eat again. She's no longer sad. And after worshiping the Lord, they all go back home together. And I love this. The Lord remembered Hannah's request. The Lord remembered Hannah's request, and she became pregnant. She was going to be a mother for the very first time. And she has a boy, and she names him Samuel, which means God hears. God hears. Well, the next year, Elkanah, Peninnah, and the kids, they went to Shiloh for the Feast of Tabernacles, but Hannah, she stays behind to wean little Sam, right? And young little Sam was old enough. Hannah brought him to the house of the Lord there in Shiloh. There, Hannah gave Samuel over to the Lord for life, as she had vowed she would. Hannah was at a breaking point. She had no children. She had to share her husband with Peninnah, who mercilessly taunted her. It seemed that Hannah was in a hopeless situation. She couldn't have known what God had in store for her. She couldn't have known that, but that God was going to use her among all the women in Israel to bear that boy, a prophet to the nation. God chose this broken woman to demonstrate his love and his grace. And when Hannah got up to pray that day, her prayer not only changed her own life, but it changed the nation of Israel. The text says that she got up. She got up. And because she did that, it led to her breakthrough. She was at a breaking point. She got up, and there was a breakthrough. What a remarkable story about Hannah and how she demonstrated desperate prayer for God to answer. Hannah's prayer was the first woman's petition recorded in Scripture. You see, God often uses deep human need to accomplish His purposes. God will use a deep need in you to achieve what He wants for you. Hannah simply asked God for a son, and God gave her much more. Year after depressing year, she was tormented by Elkanah's other wife, but in her time in prayer with God, it was all broken. The same God we sang this morning, the same God that Hannah prayed to is the same unchanging God. Amen? What can be learned from Hannah on this Mother's Day? Again, this is something for all of us, not just for our moms. What can we learn from Hannah on this Mother's Day? From my own breaking point to my own breakthrough, I must pray from my heart. Pray from my heart. Hannah's example is a great reminder that no matter what hopeless situation that you find yourself in, God hears your prayer. Talking with someone this week, can I pray with you? Yeah, I don't think God hears my prayer. Guess what? He does hear your prayer every single time. I had to encourage her. Her sorrow, you know, Hannah's sorrow, her tears, her anguish, it was real, it was raw and honest. Sometimes we like to just use fancy words with the Lord. Bring your honesty to Him because God can work with honesty. It showed the intensity of her prayer to God. Let me read it again, 1 Samuel 1, 9 and 10. And then I'll skip to 12 through 16. One day after Hannah had something to eat and drink in Shiloh, she got up. I love that. The priest Eli was sitting on a chair by the door of the Lord's temple. And though she was resentful, she prayed to the Lord while she cried. While Hannah was praying a long time in the front of the Lord. There's a phrase right there. She prayed a long time in front of the Lord. Eli's watching her mouth. She was praying silently. Her voice couldn't be heard. Only her lips were moving. Eli thought, man, she's drunk. And how long are you going to stay drunk? He asked her. Get rid of your wine. Hannah responded, no, sir. I'm not drunk. I'm depressed. I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't take me to be a good-for-nothing woman. I was praying like this because I've been troubled and tormented. You could feel it. You could sense it. She got up. She wasn't being idle anymore. She wasn't reciting a memorized prayer or going through the motions standing in the temple, right? Her prayer came from deep within her. She was pouring her heart out, her soul to the Lord. Have you ever been there? You're pouring it out to the Lord. Tears are streaming down her cheek as she's crying out to God. In fact, her tears spoke loudly when what was hidden in her heart. Her tears spoke louder than what was in her heart. And she lingered in the presence in front of the Lord. In prayer, Hannah's heart spoke louder than her words. Think about that for a moment. God, even though there may not be words coming out, God knows and sees your heart. To those here this morning who feel desperate by their need to pray, God often works out His plan through human weakness. Your prayer may not be filled with eloquent words, but God hears your heart's cry. Pour your heart out to Him anyway. When you feel discouraged, when you feel misunderstood, keep pressing on. Keep praying through. That's an old term we used to say in church, right? You just need to pray through. Keep holding on to God. It's okay to be honest with God from your heart. From my own breaking point to my own breakthrough, I must pray from my heart, and I must pray God receives the glory. Pray that God receives the glory. In her desperate prayer, Hannah dedicated her son, little Sam, to the Lord before he was even conceived. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, she made this vow, Lord of armies, if you will look at my misery, remember me and give me a boy, then I will give him to you as long as he lives. Think about that for just a moment. She wasn't bargaining with God, but wanted God to receive all the glory and all the praise through it all. I will give him to you for as long as he lives. He's yours, God. I give him back to you. And God heard Hannah's prayer, and God gave her a son, and she fulfilled her vow, and she gave little Samuel back to God. I can kind of relate. When Julie and I took our daughter Danielle to college up at North Central in Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis, right? We got her all moved in, and the next day we said our goodbyes. And as we drove away, there was a lump in my throat, right? That was tough, to leave your firstborn in a big city. Moms and dads, right? Like Hannah, that would have been difficult that day, to leave your only little boy in the house of the Lord and head home. That would have been difficult. Let's be honest, she was human. It doesn't matter how old our kids are, we still are concerned and we pray for them, right? Always will, always, right? But Scripture says in 1 Samuel, before you think, oh man, poor Hannah, look what God does. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord came to Hannah. She became pregnant 5 times and had 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in front of the Lord. God answered. Hannah kept her vow, and God received the glory. Often when we come before God in prayer, the focus is only on ourselves and not on how God can be exalted through this. But that day, Hannah, she got up to pray in the house of the Lord, even though she was full of sadness, even though she was full of despair. You see, you win when you live for the glory of God. You win. Bad things might be happening. It might be hopeless, but you still win if God receives the glory. So from my breaking point to my own breakthrough, man, I must pray from my heart. It's got to be real. It's got to be honest. It's got to be raw. God, this is where I'm at. And then you pray that God receives the glory, no matter how he answers. And know that prayer brings peace to my soul. Prayer brings peace to my soul. You see, Hannah's heartfelt petition is another reminder of how prayer relieves the soul of the burdens that you carry. We're pausing in our series on our relationship with hurry, and how hurry is the enemy of our soul. But through prayer, God brings peace to your soul. 1 Samuel 1, 17 and 18 and verse 20, Eli replied, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your request. May you continue to be kind to me," she said. Then the woman went her way and ate, and she was no longer sad. Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. God hears, because she said, "I asked the Lord for him." Eli heard her out and he even blessed her. She ate, right? She left, she ate some food and was no longer sad. She felt better. She was filled with peace, right? In prayer, Hannah experienced her. She exchanged her burden onto the Lord that day. Something happened in her heart. She did what the Apostle Peter tells us to do in 1 Peter 5, 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about who? You. He does. And I think you would agree that putting this verse into practice in your current situation is far different than just reciting it from memory or stitching it on a throw pillow, right? It means unloading your burdens through intense prayer. She lingered in front of the Lord praying. She lingered. She got up and she lingered. It means really believing that God cares about you, right? Back in the Old Testament, David admittingly cried out to God in prayer in Psalm chapter 40, verse 17, "I am poor and weak, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now. Oh my God, you are my helper. You are my Savior. Come quickly and save me. Please don't delay. Hurry, God," right? The Lord is thinking about you today, right now. He is your helper. He is your Savior. So then how do we transfer this fear, this anxiety, this grief and sorrow to the Lord? How do you do that, right? You give it to Him in prayer. When you as a mother or dad, right, are concerned about your kids, God is deeply concerned with the burdens and anxiety that you carry. Just as a parent, right, you pray for your kids. You think about them. Are they safe? Are they doing okay? It's something that you always have if you're a parent. You understand, right? You are always thinking about your kids and their safety and their well-being. Know that God, on a much higher scale, right, does that for you. He's concerned about you. God's invitation to you moms, to all of us, is to call on Him. Well, Hannah's breakthrough. She went from her breaking point to her breakthrough. How? Prayer. The Lord answered Hannah's prayer, but that doesn't mean that God will answer all our prayers according to our wishes. God answers our prayers in His timing, in His way. But know this today, God always, always hears our prayers. Some of you may be thinking, nothing's happened. But believe and know that God hears prayers, your prayers. The encouragement this morning is to do what Hannah did. She got up. She got up. In her desperation, she cried out to God in prayer. You see, I've read that praying, it does cost something. It does cost something when you pray, but the cost of not praying is much higher. Pastor and author Jim Cimbala said this: lack of prayer translates into lack of peace, no matter how knowledgeable we are about the Bible. Lack of prayer translates into a lack of peace. Friends, God is inviting us to pray from deep within our hearts, to pray in such a way that God receives the glory through it all. If He answers the way we hoped, or if He answers the way that we didn't see, He gets the credit no matter what. And when we do that, the peace of God will begin to fill our hearts. Bring whatever is on your heart to God today. That's what Hannah did. And every day. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Paul says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How many know that's what we really need, to guard our hearts and our minds, because we can go crazy. We need a miracle. We're desperate. God's saying, I have my peace. You see, this is an amazing promise from God Himself to all of us, including moms and anxious hearts. In a world of pain, in a world of sorrow, in a world of brokenness, God promises peace when we pray. To all the moms, to all the women here today, know what God says about you. You are never alone. You are brave. You are chosen. You are worthy. You are enough. You are loved. I came across this poem titled Reflections of a Mother's Heart by an unknown author. And I believe it really does capture a mother's heart. I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can give you directions, but I cannot be there to lead you. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about alcohol and drugs, but I can't say no for you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I can't achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I can't force you to be gracious. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can love you with an unconditional love all of my life, and I will. God offers every one of us relationship. He offers us kindness and forgiveness and wisdom and direction and blessing and this amazing unconditional love. From our own breaking point to our own breakthrough, we must pray from deep within our hearts, pray that God then receives the glory through it all, and then praying that, and by praying that brings peace to our souls. That's my encouragement today. That's the example of Hannah's breakthrough. Let's pray.